Hey everyone, starting the podcast a little bit different this week. Just basically want to let you know that at one point last year we had an issue with some episodes that didn't record, and we had a similar event last week. And you know, obviously this is a problem that we thought was over a year ago. Now it happened again. It's very stressful. It turns out that the episodes recorded just fine, which we didn't know until now. It was a completely different issue. So we figured it out, and I think we're good now. So you're going to get a double upload this week. It's going to be the first time we've ever done that before. Hope you enjoy it. And with that, everyone, welcome to Ending the Drought, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast. I'm Jason. This is Jeff and Jake. And this is Season 4, Episode 8.
What up, fellas?
Awesome evening, boys.
Yes.
Thanks for filling everybody in, Jay, on the haps.
Yeah.
It was a weird issue that we weren't aware about. So
yeah. It's just to explain what happened. It's basically that the podcast date was changed because our device got reset. So it went back to January of 2020, which then caused the episode to be filtered way up in our list of episodes where we'd never find it. So they're not named on our device. It's just all by date. So it screwed us up. But you know, thankfully we figured this out. So hopefully we shouldn't ever have a point where we have to be heartbroken that we lost an episode,
because absolutely,
it's all better now.
Yeah, that was a good discovery, because when Jeff called me last week and he's like, "Dude, the episode never recorded." I'm like,
"You're
come
not
on,
believe this."
So that's good news for sure.
It's really, definitely,
really good news. So
yep.
Now we're excited. Now,
yeah,
we are.
Yeah, we can move on, and we can not be saddened that didn't, you know, quote unquote, not happen.
Right, right.
So like Jay said, we can get two episodes up, which is cool. So for you listeners, you can catch up on both episodes. I know there's a few people that were asking me about it. So
yeah,
we'll get those going. And obviously,
yeah, it's been a long gap. So I think a nice little double header is a good gift.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And we should be much more consistent going forward.
Yep.
Correct.
Should be good. We're going to kick this off with Jake heard that the Bills were at camp, so he decided to go camping. I'm not sure he understood what we were talking about.
Right.
We went to Allegheny, dude. Tell us your experience, man. Was it a good time? Did you have fun?
Oh, yeah. Well, Allegheny.
Girls are good.
Allegheny, I haven't been to since my one daughter was born, so it was 7 years ago. And a few things changed. It upgrades, which is nice.
There's
some nicer bathroom facilities, some added nice cabins that were never there.
Did you get to see any of those new bathrooms I told you about that they put in?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I went and checked them all out.
Yeah, pretty cool, huh?
Oh, they're really nice, dude.
That's
All the bathrooms, the new ones are super nice, the facilities they have there. We even went down towards like Thunder Rock and the Bear Caves in that way.
That's awesome.
And they have like legit like super, super nice bathroom facilities. Like I'm talking creme de la creme ones.
Right.
Like shower facilities, like they're like top premium,
very
new
nice,
new
dude.
Facilities
very
that
nice.
That I haven't ever seen. So they got to be, you know, within 5, 6, 7 years old. And then they're actually building a new one too, down toward the Thunder Rock when you're going past the admin building and all that. So it's really nice, the additions they made.
Right.
And we were worried about my girls because they're really the type of, you know, kids. They're one's 11 and one's 7. So they love their technology. They love being connected to everything.
For
so,
sure.
You know, we're a little bit worried about it, but they loved it. They said that it was their favorite place camping, better than Jellystone.
Nice.
Better than Sprague Brook. Just they're able to be kids.
Yeah, right. And that's interesting because if you think about it, like maybe it's different in Cane Hollow where you camped, but a lot of the park, it doesn't quite feel like it's designed around children. Whereas like Jellystone, obviously, that's their whole gig. So if your kids had a great time, that's really cool, man.
Yeah, we forced them we didn't have to force them, but we just made it be known, like, hey, we're up here in the wilderness. We have no signal. I couldn't check my phone.
Yep.
Had no idea what was going on with Bill's camp, anything like that. And we're just like, hey, this is your time to just do what you want to do and be a kid. So we caught like 6 frogs.
Oh, that's awesome,
dude. You know, they're out until, you know, 10, 11 at night, every night playing. They woke up early. Nobody was whining. They were bored.
That's
again,
nice,
we took them to Thunder Rock, which they loved. They're climbing all over these huge boulders.
It used to be one of his favorites, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was cool.
Accidental coincidences that we all are like campers at heart. You know what I mean? Like,
I grew up
with
it.
That's our background. He grew up with it. I grew up with it. That's so cool.
I had a good streak going back back in the day. It was 23 years straight.
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
Yep.
I was
Allegheny is definitely my home away from home.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. It's awesome there. It's just it's so beautiful there, the sights, the lake, the trails. I mean, there's so much you can do there. So,
yeah.
You know, I said to my wife, I'm like, they were just able to be kids and not have to worry about everything else. You know, sometimes as adults we tend to forget that kids also have a lot of things on their plate. You know, yep. they're going to like summer camp at Springville High School, and they're doing right. that. And you know, they're always just their kids are always have to do stuff
different
too.
Activities,
yeah. After so school, so it was whatever. Cool for them to just you know just be kids and be outside,
yeah.
and not have to worry about anything else. And it was good for them.
And disconnecting from technology, you know, you don't really think about what it actually means, but a lot of it is that you're not thinking about the things that you can't control anymore. You're not thinking like, oh, I have to check this. I have to go do this.
Right.
I, you know, whatever. Right. It's eliminating all the distraction. And that's the same thing for kids. I mean, it's yeah. the same thing.
Yeah. And without
they're not thinking about what friend they want to go hang out with or what, you know, they have to correct. Do the next weekend. Like
yep.
it all just goes away for a very brief time before you jump back into reality.
Yeah. And hopefully we don't sound preachy, but honestly, I do think it's one of those things that if you haven't tried it, you might find you really enjoy being off the grid for a very short period of time.
Oh, yeah. And it's, you know, us being out here in Springville, we're a lot closer to it. We have access right. to those types of correct. Areas very close to home. But even that, you know, it's not like just because we're in a rural community that we don't need that too.
Right.
Sometimes it's nice to just disconnect and recharge a little bit.
Yeah, it was great because when you're up there and you have nothing, well, number one, it reminded me of just growing up. You play it as it goes. Every time... You know, every day you're checking the weather. Is it going to rain? You look at the radar. You know, what's the hourly say? This and that. And you can kind of get a gauge of what's going to happen up there. And you
look at the sky.
You just wait until something happens.
Yeah,
you know?
Pretty much.
Right.
That's it. You know, and you can't check to see what the weather is. So
right. Like you said, you kind of play it by ear and you just roll with it no matter what's going on.
That's it.
You
it
do changes, something different.
Yeah, the percentage of stuff you actually have control over goes way down.
Right.
And that's a little freeing sometimes.
Yeah,
it's cool.
I would so, never want to do for it forever, you, but definitely a week or two.
Yeah, absolutely cool for you, man.
Thank you.
Very cool. Now to get the podcast rolling.
Yes.
So
we still do that?
We do. So we're in the middle of training camp, as most people are aware. The Bills have now, as of yesterday, put pads on.
They completed 6 days as of today.
Yes, today is Tuesday, the sixth day of practice, and second day with pads. It got delayed. It would have actually been the third day, but they decided to go one more day without pads. So, yeah. So now that the team's kind of rolling, they've had their 11-on-11s. They're doing some red zone work, stuff like that. I know you were away, but I thought it might be kind of fun if we broke down the team in a couple of different pieces.
Yeah.
So what I was hoping that you might be up for this week is if we focus on the defense and I just toss out a few names.
Yeah.
Maybe get your impression of like where they're at. Are they up? Are they down?
Right.
Is there a problem with this player or, you know, whatever your thoughts and feelings are, I'll share what I'm thinking. If Jason has any input, of course, he does the same thing.
Yep.
We'll just kind of throw it out there and take a look at the different players and maybe just garner our opinions on, you know, what their prospects for the year even could be. But just whatever comes to mind, we'll start, like I said, with defense. One of the players I think that people – in general, Buffalo Bills fans are interested in is DeMar Hamlin. So where do you think we are with DeMar?
From what I've seen, what I've caught up, and well, today he had a pick six that he was able to kind of return for a touchdown, but technically he got touched when right, he was right. down on the ground. But that
still cool.
Yeah, that being said, from what happened to last year to this year, it's amazing. It's truly an inspiration to see a guy be able to be back on the football field this quick,
right?
Going full force, playing the game he loves, and so far I think he's been doing exactly what kind of where he left off. I mean, flying around the field, making plays, and I think we can really expect him to you know continue to trend upwards because not only is he you know. Working hard, working his butt off to,
right.
you know, have a a spot on this team to make a difference. But I mean, he's just a really inspirational guy, you know? So again, I think the sky's the limit for DeMar Hamlin. I think he's gonna do a lot of good stuff for sure.
Yeah, he's been rock solid. I mean, before the incident, he was on the playing field when it happened.
Yeah.
He was making plays. I mean, he was actually making a tackle.
Right.
Like, I mean, so the talent is there. The team obviously values him. So yeah, I agree with you 100%. I think as long as he can maintain the process that he's in right now,
yeah,
get past the mental stuff, I think he will return to probably who he was and maybe with a little new perspective.
Yeah,
I think so. I don't know what his work ethic was before, but I know right now he's talked about it to a great extent about what he's gone through and how it's actually helped him to grow as a person. Also heard something that, like, he has actually been traveling the country with this whole effort of his to get safety devices to colleges, high schools,
yes,
CPR training for coaches and things like that. Correct. It's really been driven by him, and you know, which I think is fantastic. It just shows the kind of person he really is.
Right.
When a lot of people would be thinking about their own future and their own health, he's actually thinking about what can we do to make sure this event, if it ever does occur, they have the same chance I had.
Right, right, exactly.
Which is cool. So yeah, I agree. I think the sky's the limit for him. I think he'll be back with the team. I think he'll be on the 53. I really think he's got a probably really good shot at a long career still. He's still a young guy too.
You know, he's young. He has good work ethic. I think he kind of showed that. He's got two of the best safeties in the NFL to learn from.
Right.
You know, and
right.
Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde. So right there alone, you know, you kind of look at that as a huge upside for him to be on this roster to learn from two Pro Bowlers. So yeah, it's something that as a Bills fan, you know, or just as a person in general, to look at a guy that went through the turmoil he had to deal with, and then making it to where he's at already now, it's huge, you know, and it's definitely something I think that can help carry the team throughout the season with that. So
nice,
yeah,
yeah, very good. Very good. How about you, Jace? Did you have anything to want to throw at that?
I feel like my contribution to the podcast is really stuff that's not actually meaningful or useful to anybody. It's more heady philosophical opinions that don't really talk about football because I don't know that much about it.
Right.
So I think I'm just going to stay in my wheelhouse on that one.
All right.
Cool.
That's reasonable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
All right. That handles DeMar. Let's take another shot at it. Let's go with, let's talk about Kaiir Elam.
Right. Right.
Where are we at?
Well, it's kind of mixed, I think, from what I've seen the last six practices. There's been reports saying that Dane Jackson has been outplaying him. There's also reports just saying he's been running with the ones here and there, too. So I don't really have a huge opinion or saying right now as to what's going to happen with him.
Right.
I know that he has the physical tools and the talent to play the other cornerback position. I think it's a little early for people to sit here and say, well, Dane Jackson seems to have that job locked up. That's really can't be the case yet. I mean, you're talking
practices in.
Yeah, the pads just went on the other day. I think they're giving everybody right now an equal opportunity to show what they can do with the ones. You know, they're doing that at the middle linebacker position as well. They got three guys they're rotating in and out at one. So it's we still got a lot of ball to play until the season opener.
Right.
So right now I think it's just kind of I'd leave it up as a toss up right now with Kyrie Elam and Dane Jackson.
Yeah, I'm good with that. I actually heard they did a little press conference with the defensive backs coach, and he kind of pointed out that each one of those guys have their, I think he even brought Cam Lewis into it. They each have an area where they excel.
Right.
You know, they said Kyrie Elam has been fantastic near the line, like fantastic. Or he did. yeah. explain that. And he broke it. And he wasn't trying to do comparisons, apple to apples, player to player. But he had just pointed out that each one definitely has their key factor of the game that they excel in. So that was a part of it. I'm with you. I think even if Kyrie Elam doesn't get a starting role, he'll spend plenty of time on the field. I think he's going to learn more as he goes along. I don't know how many opportunities. He did have a few opportunities we saw last year, and he had, I think, at least maybe one or two interceptions last year. I thought overall it was a good performance for a rookie. I think some people, because you get guys like Sauce Gardner who come in and they're just beyond belief when it comes to talent, that you kind of expect every first-round player to do that, you know?
Yeah.
And they're not all born the same. Ed Oliver is a great example of a guy that you can draft fairly early in the draft, and you maybe don't see the end result until year three or four.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? It may take a while to develop a guy.
Yeah, and Kyrie Elam, you got to remember, too, when he was in Florida, he was a pure lockdown man-to-man coverage right. guy. That's what he did. That's why he was as good as he was. And then you come into the pros and you never played a zone scheme defense
yep.
where you have to find a spot. You have to, you know, cover a guy, but you have to know when to let him go when you have your coverage behind you or when you can roll to the other side with it. There's a lot of different scheming and things to think about
sure.
when you have to play a zone scheme like McDermott's defense. It's
complicated defense,
well, the
too.
Thing is, when you're playing a man-to-man defense like he was in college, the only thing you have to think about is locking guy, down that guy. You
the
don't
guy
have
across
to think,
the line from is the one you got
to
focus
right,
on.
Right, you don't have to think about four or five different coverages. So,
right.
again, you know, I know that I'd say McDermott talks about how he wants to fit his scheme to fit the players. Sometimes that doesn't always add up because these guys also have to learn the system that McDermott is teaching these guys too. And Kyrie Elam he's a smart kid. We all know he studies hard. He explained that in his his draft day oppressor. But the thing is he's got a little more learning curve to go through, right?
Absolutely.
You know, he has to learn this defense. He has the skill. You know, if you give the kid a chance to play some man-to-man in this defense like he did last year, we saw he was locking guys down.
Sure.
So if he can learn the zone, he's going to be more of a hybrid corner where he can play both. And I think he's going to be fine. He has to learn it.
Right.
And that's the biggest thing.
And so. I think he can still play well, maybe not exceptionally well, but he can still play well while he learns some of that stuff.
Exactly. They you just got to put him in the right situations.
Correct. Yes.
Make sure he's in the right. And that's what McDermott preaches a lot, right, Jeff? He says he wants to make sure these guys are trustable when they're on the field.
Yep.
You know, all these other guys on defense that have been in the system, they got to trust the other guy out there, too, to make plays and know they're in the right spot. So, again, McDermott's not going to put a guy out there that's not going to be able to succeed 100% of the time. If you're sitting there wondering, you know, why isn't Elam not in the game? You know, and you're right. yelling at the TV or you're just wondering, like, there's a lot behind that, too. It's not just because McDermott feels he's a rookie. He doesn't want to give him a shot. So, you know, you just got to be patient with some of these guys. I know he was first round 20?
Oh, low, late 30, 29, 30.
Something like that,
there.
Yeah. But
27, maybe. It was later in the round.
So I know people are giving it shit that why are we going to take a corner when we're not using them? Well, again, you know, I look at it, in my opinion, as it's more of a long-term move, too. Like, you have a pretty decent corner in Jaden Jackson if you can't use Kyrie Elam. But the ceiling, it's kind of just like Josh in a way, too. You know, the ceiling can be very high.
Right, he's shown those flashes.
Let him learn. Let him get what he needs under him. I think he'll be fine.
I'm cool to do that. Yeah, I mean, I feel the same way.
Yeah,
yeah, that's kind of
will be absolutely fine.
Yeah, it's kind of been our MO since 2018. Just finding diamonds in the rough who have a high ceiling and polishing them until they become that.
That's very true. That's
a
great point.
And it's not about year one.
That's a great point. This team has always been like, it was kind of a surprise for all of us when they took Dalton Kincaid, because it's rare that they will take a guy who's a little bit older. I think he's 23 coming out of the draft. They like guys that are 21. you know, real young, maybe juniors in college that have the physical raw ability, and we can hone it. We can polish it. We can we can make them better. You know what I mean?
And that's the thing that Brandon Bean and McDermott said way in the beginning of them coming into this organization is they want to not only try to build a roster that can win, but build a roster for the future.
Right.
And that's pretty evident because, yes, there are certain guys that are on this team that can produce fast, but there's other guys that are taking time to produce, which as a fan, you know, we all as fans want to see results quick, right?
Sure.
But at the end of the day.
Well, especially after 17 years of.
Yes.
Not making the playoffs. Everybody wants, I want it now. I like well, it. Yeah. And we've waited. I want it now.
And you can see flashes where the coaching staff is no different. They got Von Miller for a reason. They wanted immediate results.
Absolutely.
It's certainly not a 10-year investment on Von Miller.
Right.
You know what I mean? No, so, I mean, it occasionally it does happen. Doesn't always work out the way we think it will.
Yep.
Sometimes it takes a year or two.
Sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's a good mix.
Yeah, that is a good.
It's a good mix of guys, right? Like Jay said, you know, you bring in certain guys to kind of dip into this defense or offense that have the ability to make an impact right away.
Yeah.
There's other guys that you want to make more of a long-term investment in and develop, you know, and there's certain positions where you would say, well, you know, their career could be short at that position. You, running back is one. Obviously, we haven't put a lot of, you know,
investment
in, yes, into that position.
Right.
But, you know,
by design, I think.
Yeah, and you look at Oliver. I know I've talked to some people that still think that was a stupid extension, you know, to give him that money when his production's been kind of like up and down.
Yep.
But, you know, these guys see him and they're with him every day. They coach him.
Right.
So whatever they're seeing in him for the trajectory, obviously they think he's got way more room to go up.
Exactly.
Than for down. Sure. So.
For sure. All right, I'm going to go two more. Now, and I'm trying to avoid new pieces that we really don't know a lot about. I'm talking pretty much guys that are somewhat core pieces. So the next one I'm going to throw at you is Jordan Poyer.
Right.
What should we anticipate from a player like Jordan this year?
Well, he's a guy that's going to be the leader of the back end of that defense. You know, if you want to call your middle linebacker your quarterback of the defense, I totally get that. But I feel more like Poyer and Hyde are going to be more of your quarterback of the defense, so to speak.
And, even if not calling a plays, pre-snap, they're going to have input.
These guys, Jeff, you've seen 100 different times throughout the years they've been here, they're in the background telling guys where to go and where to be. And, you know, they're disguising their coverages the best of the best back there. So
with
Jordan, you're going to get a guy that's going to put all of it on the line. I was reading some stuff about him and Hyde just having more, you know, more push this year. They know what's at stake with this team. They know where their career is now.
Yeah, right. True.
So they
see the light at the end of the tunnel. Somebody pointed that out. And I think it might have been Jordan Poyer. It's a good, it's a good way to view it, like his window of opportunity is shrinking because of age.
That's it. You know, they know their time in this league playing at a high level is starting to come down more.
Sure.
You know, that position is very physically demanding. These guys, you know, they're flying around, they're hitting people, like they put their bodies on the line. That's not a position where, you know, you feel like you can kind of keep super longevity because of what they do in this league, you know. Right. But Jordan Poyer is going to give you, I think, everything he has. He obviously went to free agency, looked around, and said, nah, Buffalo's the spot, man.
These are my guys, man. He literally said, these are my guys.
Right.
This
is
my team.
So you know what you're going to get as advertised with Jordan Poyer. I think Bills Mafia loves the guy. And he's just going to continue to be a leader for this defense, you know, game in, game out, man. So I'm excited to have these guys, both of them. And I really hope Micah Hyde with that neck injury. It gives me I'm nervous about him because that neck injury is no joke. And again, these guys play the way they play the game. Micah Hyde, he leaves it on the line and you take one wrong hit to the neck again, man.
Yeah, I know.
So that scares
me. Scary. Well, and Poyer, last year. I mean, everybody remembers, I think it was the game where we went to traveled to Tennessee or something like that.
Right.
He's not on the plane because he's got broken ribs or something like that. He can't fly, right?
To KC, yeah.
KC, yeah. I mean, that's who he is. Like, that's his dedication not only to the game but to the team.
Right, exactly. Right?
He'll get there. If I got to walk, I'll be there. Like
100%.
So, yeah, I agree. Same as you. You don't have to worry about effort when it comes to Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer. If they're walking and breathing, they're going to give it everything they got and leave it on the field.
That's it.
So it is scary in the terms of, like, both of them obviously had injuries last year.
Right.
But at the same time, they both have extreme motivation to get this team beyond where we've been able to get to so far.
Yeah.
Last one. All right. I'm going to throw a little curveball to you.
Yeah.
Greg Rousseau.
Right. Well, I mean, Groot, the thing with Groot is you've seen flashes last year of him showing a dominant defensive end. I think behind the scenes, he's a student of the game. He really pays attention to what he's doing, what his position entails. He learns a lot from Von Miller. Having Von Miller come in to help our young DNs was I think, strategic planning too. Not only are you getting a guy like Jay said that's gonna drop in and he's gonna give you immediate production, but you're really getting a coach on the field too. And yep. I think Greg Rousseau really needed that because he didn't have anybody to really learn from. I think this year you're gonna see a very borderline to dominant defensive end from him. I think he's gonna show a lot of different technique this year. And Jeff, he actually, like, this is his second full season, right?
Right.
Like, when we got him as a rook, he didn't play college ball much.
Right. Well, so, he hadn't played in over a year because his senior year he missed because of COVID, right? Wasn't it his senior year?
Right.
Like, he had done really well as a junior, but he literally missed his entire senior year because of COVID.
Right. So you got really two good years of him learning how to be a pro. And right. Learning the game of you know the NFL and the position he's in, it's tough, man. Defensive end, there's a lot to that position more than you would think. It's not just, you know, dip your head down and go after the quarterback.
Right,
there's
right.
There's a lot of things you got to learn about that position. And
he doubled his sack count, and he didn't play every game.
Right.
Like four sacks as a rookie, second-year player, eight sacks, same as Von Miller. I think he played, if I remember, like 13 games.
Yeah.
And had eight sacks. I mean, honestly, double-digit sacks, if you're an edge rusher, is your goal.
Yes.
And if you've got eight of them in 13 games, you got a pretty good shot at 10 over 17. So
yeah.
I believe that's what's 13. But
yeah.
But whatever, like you said, if you think he can progress the way he has so far as a professional, I agree 100%. You know, we talked about this a little bit. Like, if Von Miller stays healthy, Leonard Floyd does what he's brought in to do,
yep.
We might be looking at three guys who could conceivably have double-digit sacks. And A.J. Epinesa, sure. I think, didn't we say, had six sacks last year?
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like he was a real slouch or anything either. And Boogie Basham, like...
Yeah, you're going to get... Well, if I can just kind of elaborate, you know, today they were saying that... you know, the defensive line was really dominating our offensive line, which in retrospect, you don't want to hear that, but it's also good in a way too, because, you know, that means that these guys are coming in with very high intensity. Now, Dawson Knox came out and said in his press conference after practice today that, you know, the offensive line, it goes back and forth. He felt the offensive line had a few days of dominance over them. And he didn't deny that they got dominated today. He said they brought more energy. They came after us. They were predominantly going, their offense today, Jeff, was predominantly third and long situations.
Right.
So they pinned their ears back and they were coming after Josh hard.
Yeah.
Yep. And I guess Spencer Brown and
McGovern
were
Osiris Torrance.
So Spencer Brown was struggling a little bit.
Oh, okay.
With Fletcher.
Oh,
or not Fletcher.
Leonard Floyd.
Leonard Floyd.
Right.
I guess Leonard Floyd was. They said it was Matt Perino said that Leonard Floyd was coming after Josh Hart.
I heard he was getting shot out of a cannon.
So,
you know, quote unquote sacks. Yeah. Basically just touching a quarterback.
And then Ed Oliver was reported to be just taken over on the interior. They said he was in the backfield before the ball was even snapped at times. He was just getting back there beating McGovern. So there's things to take from both sides of it.
Right. Which is what you expect when you got two elite lines, offense and defense. Elite, defense elite, maybe not line.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying.
And also, I mean, when you think about it, like it could have been that they're doing a practice. Maybe their intensity literally just was higher for no reason in particular. Like,
well, yeah, absolutely.
Our offense wasn't pushing 100% because they didn't feel they needed to. It's just practice, whatever. You know.
Well, and again,
different days, different motivations, whatever.
Right, and if you're doing down and distance practices where you've got, you know, 8-10 yards, you got to try and pick up. Most of the time, your quarterback's going to need a little time. That's exactly the opportunity the defense wants to pin their ears back and go after the quarterback. So, yeah, different circumstances are going to probably have the offense defensive line lean a direction one way or the other. There's no doubt. They talked about James Cook, like the first play from scrimmage with the pads on, he had like a 40-yard run.
Right.
I'm sure the defensive line went, fuck, you know, like, well, God, yeah, yeah, it, what the hell, like, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah. And you got to look at it as too, as it's a learning curve too, or it's a way to put you know, the two sides of the ball in a learning situation.
Right. Well, again, so, evaluation too, right?
So you want to see, you want to put stress on our offense third and long to see how we handle it.
Yeah,
because you know Josh continuously gets pressured hardcore against,
absolutely,
because teams know, or did know, that our offensive line was not great. So they pressured us on the edges and up the interior, you know, and that's where they had a lot of success. So you got to look at that as our coaches know that.
Right.
They're gonna test our offensive line the way that we were tested against other high pressure teams last year. You know what I mean?
And somebody point out, we're gonna play some really good defenses. Right, like the offensive line needs to face our best defense, because we're going to see some defenses that are as good as ours.
And it comes down, especially what you mentioned on like third down, right? There's very few teams that will be more repetitive on third down than the Bills.
Right.
We do the same shit every time, and it usually works.
Yeah.
But our defense knows that, and they're trying to push them into doing something else as well and testing their limits.
Well, because that's
true
too.
If you're a one-note team relying that heavily on your quarterback, you need to be the best. You need to be better at that than what anyone else is doing.
Yeah, and I hadn't thought about it either. We have a new defense, right? Because we have a new defensive coordinator in Sean McDermott. Our offense is Ken Dorsey's offense from last year. So our defense may have a better indication of what the offense is going to do than our offense does of what the defense is going to do.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, and they're still throwing.
That's probably a part of it.
They're both throwing new looks at each other too. I guess Dorsey's been doing a lot of different motion. A lot of 12 personnel, you know, two tight ends.
That's good to hear.
They've been flanking both Kincaid and Dawson Knox out
to
one side on the flat and one side. So he's kind of doing. That's how Josh got kind of his the wind knocked out of him on the goal line from Taron Johnson.
Right.
Is they did some sort of weird
receiver on the play,
and he got doinked.
Yeah, I'm gonna do something I don't normally do. I'm gonna drive our podcast a little bit here.
Okay.
I have a question for you guys. I heard a lot when we did the draft that we were going to probably be migrating more towards a two tight end set offense.
Right.
But I also see a lot of people on Bills Mafia shitting all over Dawson Knox constantly, saying he's dead weight. We got to get him off the field.
Yeah.
How do you guys feel about that? What do you think is more valuable to our team?
At both of them.
Yeah.
They're both valuable.
Right.
You just have.
Well, but I mean, as far as, would you rather run a traditional set or a more two tight end set? What do you think is a better choice?
I love the idea of the two tight end set.
Well, yeah, you
I
got.
Honestly,
Dawson Knox is no slouch, guys. I mean, let's be honest here. I mean, Dawson Knox, he
was a top 10 tight end last year in the NFL.
Well, he's
and
not.
He didn't even have a great year.
Yeah, he's not at the skill set of when he came into the league. What Kincaid brings right now.
Oh, yeah, no way.
But
he was not a first-round pick.
Right, but the thing is Dawson Knox developed over the last 3 years.
Right.
And what he brings now with Kincaid you're creating, like, you have two very, very good tight ends.
Yep.
And you're creating a very big time mismatch.
Correct.
Because if you have two tight ends that are able to do what these guys can do, Dawson Knox is big, he's strong, he's fast, and most of the time he can catch the ball. So if yeah, you he do struggled that,
a little bit as long last as that year, threat remains, it's still useful.
Right. Yeah. But if you use these two guys the correct way, you're going to create problems. You're going to create voids in defenses.
Yep.
You're going to create problems. And I think that's what Dorsey and these coaches really looked at, is like, listen, man, if we get another tight end in this and get these formations set up where we can exploit defenses, it's going to create a whole different can of worms, man.
Well, and I have a personal theory that may have been a move specifically designed to benefit Stephon Diggs. Just to get two big bodies out there to provide that confusion, that chaos that we need to get him where he needs to go and actually have him not be double covered some of the time.
Well, yeah, there's no doubt.
You want to get Stephon Diggs one-on-one as much as possible.
I mean, Brandon Bean pointed out, like, when it came to the 20th pick in the first round, it was 1, 2, 3, 4 wide receivers gone.
Yeah.
Like, I think they were looking to get more talent at the receiving position via a wide receiver potentially.
Right.
But when those guys went, it's like, well, fuck, what are we going to do? And whoever thought, you know, Dalton Kincaid is the best pass catching tight end in the draft, the guy's a special talent. Like, maybe that's an opportunity. I never considered one time anything other than wide receiver. But I personally think when you're talking about big bodies at the goal line, like, we struggled a little bit inside the 10-yard line last year, and you pointed out
we did.
They made some moves, including Dalton Kincaid, to try to alleviate that problem this year.
Yeah, he was very highly rated in college in the red zone.
Yep.
But not only that, is like when you look at adding a tight end. Well, now we don't know that they didn't have Dalton Kincaid on their main radar the whole time, too.
For sure. Like, that's absolutely true.
Because the word out there is Brandon Bean really didn't have any of those wide receivers graded in his first round, which is okay. Maybe that's true. Maybe it's not.
Right.
Maybe that's how much they love Dalton Kincaid. But when you look at the whole grand scheme of things, I think one of the biggest plans in this offense is, dude, you want to get Stephon Diggs in one-on-one situations. When you have two tight ends on the field that can do what these guys can do, you have to cover them with a safety and B, a linebacker. You have to, like, unless you're playing a nickel or a dime defense where you have an extra defensive back, but then you're leaving Steph one-on-one in those situations.
Yep.
So,
and he will beat just about anybody in a one-on-one.
Oh, dude, I would take Stephon Diggs against any
fact that if you want to expand on that, now you've got James Cook in the backfield, who obviously can catch passes. That's one of the reasons they drafted him.
Yeah.
And you've got Gabe Davis beyond and more. Like, Damian Harris can catch passes out of the backfield. Like,
yeah, you're bringing a lot of that in.
Like, the offensive weapons, in my opinion, that they carry this year may be the best that Josh Allen's ever dealt with.
It's 100% the best he's had since he started.
Since he got
in this
here,
league.
Right?
Well, dude.
And he's already, he was a second MVP. He missed by one pick. Aaron Rodgers took the MVP. He was second. So, like, he's already there. Everybody knows how elite he is.
Yeah, dude.
The potential with what he has now.
Right. We've seen what he's done with fairly mediocre guys. Like John Brown. I mean, come on.
Yeah,
dude.
For sure.
John Brown was a 1,000-yard receiver on this team.
Beasley almost was.
Right.
They both had career seasons here in Buffalo.
Right.
With Josh Allen.
When you have an elite quarterback like Josh, and then you give him premium weapons like they're building around him, wide receiver, tight end, now running back.
Yeah, I'm not happy if I'm a D coordinator for anybody we got to play this year.
Well, what do you do at this point, too? Because now you look at this type of offense that we have, and you have teams like the Chiefs, for instance. They're a high-pressure defense. They're a bend and break type defense. If you catch them, you're scoring on them, right?
Well, and not to mention what you talked about earlier, which is that even in practice, the playbook's out the window to an extent, and that applies to our opponents too.
For sure,
they don't know how to play against this team anymore.
Mm-hmm. It's tough because the way we match up now with the talent we have at all positions, like how do you scheme that? Where do you attack the weakness? Yeah. You know, you're gonna make a coordinator think more on how to scheme his game plan on us than before, because you know we had flaws in the system. You know, the last
right,
few years
for sure. Right.
We knew that and everyone else knew that.
Right. Can you take away Stephon Diggs and not give more opportunities to Dalton Kincaid, Dawson Knox, and James Cook? So can you load the box? Then what are you going to do with those same guys as receivers when yep. everybody's in single coverage?
Right.
Like, somebody's getting open. Like, I mean, it's thank God I'm not a D coordinator for any of them teams. I don't want to deal with it. It's going to be hard.
Not to mention just the advantage on the line of having those two big bodies out there now.
For sure.
Yeah.
Even when you're not in the red zone.
Yep.
Yeah, it just creates more problems. And that's exactly what we want to do. You know, that's the other thing, too. Speed kills. We brought in Isabella.
Yeah.
Maybe he's not going to do anything for this team. Maybe he will. But when you can bring a guy in that can run a 4.3 and he has skill set behind him, you got to give him a shot to see what he can do in an offense because, again, mismatches kill. And
right.
when you can create a mismatch and you have an elite quarterback like Josh, good luck sometimes, man.
Yeah.
Because that's where it gets tough on the other
and
team.
You got Deontay Hardy, who's this fucking speed demon. Like,
right.
Guy's fast. So,
yeah.
All right. So next week, dude.
Yeah.
You wanted to add something? Go for it.
No, I was just going to say that. You know, that really just kind of tells you where this team's trajectory is starting to go.
Right, right.
And I love it, dude. So.
I do, too. And so, same thing. Next week, we'll deal with the offense. You can pick out four more or less core players or starters that you think we should have a conversation about.
I will totally do that.
Nice, nice.
I will throw them out there.
Yep. Now, everybody's not going
to... I was just waiting on the edge of my seat to see what you're going to say next, and you're like, no.
No.
Yeah, that's it. That's all I'm bringing to you.
So now that we're going to be double uploading podcasts this week, last week we did a thing we called Riddle Me This. We had some questions, just generalized questions that Jason was approaching me and Jake with to kind of get a response to, again, some additional thoughts on the overall team. Where we're at in specific different categories. Did you have any this week you wanted to broach, Jace? Doesn't that have to be three?
I most certainly do.
And you have to, with this podcast, you have to edit in the Riddler saying, riddle me this before, yeah. you know, we get this.
I was thinking like the old school 60s Batman. They're like, like
that. Oh, there you go. I also like that.
Yeah.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, we can do the sound effects for the bam and the smash and the pow and all that.
On this podcast, we only talk about adding sound effects. We don't actually do it. Just
yeah. Dude, I want
we
you to
have,
do,
but
I want not, you to do often. The zipper one so we can go, hold on while I whip this thing out. And you go,
well.
Yeah, it's not that kind of podcast. I'm not doing that.
let's refrain from that, Jeff.
Yeah. All right, fine.
Can't all right. All. So, honestly, most of these questions touch on something that we talked about today. So
nice.
We'll start with this. Is the running back position worth investing in specifically for this team? Do you think we did the right thing?
This is very topical because today's conversation, at least in social media and online that I've seen, was a lot about should the Bills go after Dalvin Cook? Should they go after Josh Jacobs? Should they go after name a running back?
Dalvin Cook. How many times has Dalvin Cook popped
up? Holy crap, yep, guys. Give it a rest, in my opinion.
I know.
We're not going to run the ball enough to warrant putting $10 million or more into a running back. We're just not.
No. I mean, there is all that talk about getting Saquon Barkley traded to the Bills at one point. And, dude, he just signed that one year $10 million deal with incentive and bonuses to get him up to 11. 12.
Yeah.
11 or 12. So it's just.
If you got Daniel Jones, though, it kind of makes sense, right?
Well,
like, he needs that crutch. He's not a.
That's like their main offensive weapon.
Right.
You know,
right.
Daboll is using, you know, Saquon Barkley as their main guy. Like, we have Stephon Diggs. But in our offense, you can't really just say, hey, you can't bring in a guy that is going to be an elite running back with what we have on this offense already, because there's only one football.
Correct.
There's only so many touches per game that you can create.
Correct.
To happen.
Yes.
And when you're taking the ball out of Josh's hands or you're taking the ball out of Stephon Diggs' hands and possibly coming in the future, Kincaid, you know, and you're handing the ball off as a main focus on your offense as a weapon, right. It doesn't fit what we have here. So I think what we did was we upgraded the running back position from Singletary. I love the guy. I love Singletary. I had from the day we drafted him. But we got guys to fit this system better.
Right.
We obviously drafted James Cook.
In the second round.
In the second round.
Which we think is an upgrade.
Which we know has speed to kill. The guy has, you know, breakout potential. But, yeah, it's just we're not going to go out and we're not going to sign a top tier right. running back at this point. It's not going to happen.
And James Cook, had he had enough carries, would have been one of the leaders in the NFL at 5.7 yards a carry or something that last year.
Right.
But if you look at most of your leaders in the NFL, your Jonathan Taylors, things like it's less than 5 yards a carry.
Yeah, and they're leading the league in touches too, you know?
Right. Like, yeah. Yeah, Derrick Henry. I think he was actually less than 4 or around right. 4. But if you look at any of that and then you look at your receivers, most of them are over 7 or 8 yards per catch. So if you're talking about moving the ball down the field, sure, ball control is nice. Running the clock is great at the end of the game. But as far as actually chunk yardage, your passing's always going to be the better option. It's yeah. always going to be.
Right.
It's a little greater risk because you probably throw more interceptions and fumbles, but I'm not sure about that. You know, running backs do fumble the balls and quarterbacks fumble the balls getting it to the running back. So,
yep.
you know what I mean? I'm not yeah. sure how unbalanced that is. It may be closer to equal in the number of fumbles versus interceptions. I think interceptions, though, obviously are turnovers where fumbles can be recovered by your team. So maybe it's skewed a little bit. But, yeah, absolutely. When it comes to a team that I think I would run, I would definitely, when you have the talent of Josh Allen, Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, any of the elite quarterbacks, Burrow, you know,
put the
any
world of these on their guys, shoulders.
Yeah, for sure. That's the guy you want controlling the game. You know, I just think you have the better potential to score more points and to get more first downs and to control the ball. You can do that with short passes.
Yeah.
You don't need an elite running back to win in the NFL.
No.
Cool.
No, you don't. And our running game is situational too. They're gonna run the rock when it makes sense. They're not gonna run the rock to set up the pass. They don't do that.
Right.
It's just not what we do. We haven't done that since we had Josh. It's situational when it makes sense, when they see the opportunity to do it. So
yeah, and I would tell people, if you want to take a good look at it, look at the top running backs in the NFL. Look at where their teams finished versus the top quarterbacks in the NFL. Look at where their teams finished.
Right.
You know, last year it was Mahomes and Jalen Hurts in the Super Bowl Jalen Hurts will be one of the considered an elite quarterback in the NFL. And obviously Patrick Mahomes is. The Bills lost in a divisional round. But yeah, the teams that seem to go deepest in the playoffs are the guys with elite quarterbacks, not elite running backs. So,
yep.
So I, yeah, no, yeah, thank you.
And that's
paying
not to
money
say
to
that,
a running back.
And that's not to say that you can't have both, but you know,
for
as
sure.
far as far as dollars to throw around, it's never been our priority in this, you know, system. So
yeah, in a year or two down the road, maybe the Bills have that right now.
Yeah,
I mean, I think, yeah, I think James Cook could be, if not great, very, very good.
Well, and that kind of leads into my next question.
Okay, ready.
Over the past 3 years, who is your absolute favorite rookie acquisition in the draft?
The last couple 3 years?
Yep, 3 years.
Greg Rousseau.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, that... I mean, honestly, I can't argue with that. I
well,
love that.
Well, why
pick
don't
also.
You give a different answer? Just to make it more fun.
He likes my answer so much.
I do. Well, I like Greg Rousseau. Like I say, I think when it comes to ceilings,
okay, well,
over
who's
the course
your second
of the
favorite?
Last few years, can we count this year?
Yeah,
I'm
anybody
going Dalton
in the last
Kincaid.
3 years.
Yeah, I'm going Dalton Kincaid would be... Honestly, I think it's a 1A, 1B kind
yeah.
of a thing.
The only reason I didn't say that yet is because I haven't really physically
Correct.
Seen him play yet
right.
in the league, but... But I mean, that's
as far
that's
as a, favorite picks.
That's a great
though,
pick.
It's a great pick.
Yeah.
Which is funny because you said that he wasn't even really on your radar at all, right? For
absolutely
for
not
potential draft.
No,
picks.
And we do pay a little bit of attention to the draft.
Well, it's like
and,
we knew about him,
right? Absolutely,
and we talked about him constantly.
But he just wasn't somebody that you thought we'd actually
get. We never thought that he would be at at 17 when
well, that was the biggest deal. Most of the drafts had him going somewhere around 15 or sooner. Like, yep. It was kind of like Osiris Torrance. I thought we had a better shot at him in the first round because he would be available at the end of the first round. I never, never thought he would be available near the end of the second round. That very just cool. still floors me.
Yeah, because he was the number one tight end on the board. And I thought that if he was going to go anywhere, it was going to go to Dallas.
Yeah. Well, that was the thing, right?
Right.
Like, we kind of leapfrogged Dallas. And, of course, they were saying they weren't going to take him anyway now.
Right.
But, yeah, I'm pretty sure they were.
Yeah. So, yeah. But, I mean, I love Greg Rousseau. I just love what he brought to this team. It was a great pick. So.
He's got that physique too. Like I said, he didn't play his senior year, but I think as a junior, he had like 13 and a half sacks or something. He had success in college.
Get some ties to Buffalo with family. I like that. Yeah. You know, I'm always close to that. So,
okay. So last question, and I think this is going to be kind of a difficult question. I don't know if it's really fair, but what do you think that Josh Allen himself has improved over last year, other than healing, obviously, from his elbow injury?
Right.
Well,
our team in general has grown a lot, but has right. Josh Allen done anything that you've seen so far that you think is an improvement over last year?
Yeah, you go first, Jake.
Well, for me, it's going to be too early to tell, unfortunately, just based on, you know, the 6 days of camp. But what I hope to see change with Josh is the way he could protect the football like he did in 2020. That's what I want him to do. You know, he was a lot better with the football, a little less careless with the football. I love the aggressiveness, but he's got to tone down the interceptions, and he's got to hold on to the ball when he's running. You know, the biggest thing that we had a problem with last year was him fumbling too. Getting strip sacked, trying to create too many. You know, we don't need the hero Josh this year as much. I think he's got so much talent around him. If he just plays aggressive at the level he needs to be, and not try to play, you know, so much like, hey, you know, I got to carry this team on my back. I'm Superman.
Right.
Like, just utilize the guys you have on your roster like he did in 2020, and I think he's MVP. I think this team is going to traject right to where we want him to go. But we just need him to kind of play like he did under Dave's, where he was more calm, cool, and collected. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you're talking about, and I feel the same. I feel the exact same thing of what I would like to see. Now, what I'm hearing in what apparently I'm starting to see is a more mature person. Like what you're saying, everything that you're saying, I think he's talked about for several years. I got to be better with the ball. Can't be so loose with the ball. I got to be better. I think he's actually starting to, I hope, in practice, things like, he's starting to live that. Like, he's starting to understand that actual philosophy. Not that he's trying to convince himself that he needs to do it anymore. I don't think that's the case. I don't think it's him convincing anybody. It's what he wants to live day in and day out. I want to be that person, like you said.
Yeah.
A certain zen or calmness that comes with the comfort of knowing that I don't have to do it all myself.
And that's one thing that I saw personally, is that Josh, he had those doe eyes again last year sometimes.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Just that deer in headlights. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't feel very confident. It's hard. I mean, you don't know why someone thinks the things they're thinking at the time. You're not in his head. But
right.
It felt like a bit of a step back. And I really hope he comes out and just has that, you know, that confidence that he should have. I mean, honestly, like, the dude's winning so hard in football. Like, last year was a crazy awesome year. He shouldn't have shaken confidence at this point.
No.
Yeah. He needs to get over that.
Yeah, and the thing, too, is, like, you guys know, he wants to win harder for this franchise than almost any player has ever wanted to win for this franchise.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, he even said, like, his main goal in life is to bring this city a championship.
Yep.
And it carries on, you know, the field with him, where he'll do anything it takes to win. But he's got to realize that he has 11 or, you know, 10 other guys around him to help make that happen.
Right.
You know, he can't force the issue. He can't make anybody else, you know, want to win just as hard as he is. He has to just carry by example. You know, and we saw last year, it's just, he just tried too many things that were put in bad situations too. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah.
So if, as long as he can learn from that type of stuff,
yep,
you know, obviously the passion's going to be there.
We
all know that.
Yeah, for sure.
But he doesn't need motivation.
But like you both guys, you know, you guys said the maturity of him, you know, kind of growing
I can't even say there's any specific event or anything that he specifically said. It just feels like the way he's carrying himself, the way players are talking about him, like Damian Harris brought it up, like when it comes to between the hash marks,
yeah,
he's fucking, this is all business.
Right.
Outside of that, in the locker room, he's a fun guy to be around, man. Yeah. He's hilarious.
And he's getting his recognition.
They're having
too.
Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the thing too is, you know, he was the underdog. He wanted, you know, to prove people wrong, you know, to prove that he is an elite quarterback, you know, and we were all, how many times the last couple of years, but like, where's Josh? Why isn't he getting commercials? Why is this?
Right,
why is that?
Right.
Now he's, you know, he's on national TV commercials and Verizon and Gillette, and you know, he's on the cover of Madden.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that those aren't even the big ones.
Right.
I mean, for me personally, if I were someone his age, being on the cover of Madden, apart from the whole Madden curse thing, it's gotta be fucking incredible. My God.
Yeah, I mean, think about that. Since the development of the game, how many names have gone up there?
Yeah.
Like, well, it's a very small handful of people that have ever had an opportunity to be on there.
Yeah, it's like 20-some guys. It's not really that many.
Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah. I think it's just like, you know, I don't want to put this the wrong way, but I feel it's just like you proved kind of what you wanted to prove, right?
Right.
Now let that kind of all just zen down.
Correct.
And just be you, but, you know, don't try to do too much on the field anymore. Just play your game, man. Because if you play your game, if Josh plays his game and he utilizes everybody around him, like, you're not going to – this team's not going to be beat, man. Like,
And that's – like I say, that's part of what he's saying too.
Right.
Right? Like, I understand I'm young now, but I won't always be. And if I don't protect my body something, I won't be playing. Like, so yeah, I just have to be smarter with my body. I have to be smarter with the ball. Like, I think he has gone beyond where, again, he's trying to convince himself. He literally knows this and believes it. And I think that's going to be a major difference this year. I really do.
And I think Dorsey is, I mean, they all know, right? You know, you got to protect Josh. Like, he's your ticket, dude. But the thing is create the situations specifically for him to utilize these weapons. We got a ton.
Right.
Let Josh him go to work, get the ball to these weapons. And I mean, we have it all there.
And they can spread the ball around. It's not all on Diggs' shoulder either.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, the one thing that we didn't really address specifically yet, I don't think, is that, you know, we have not seen more than 3 weeks in a row, probably in 6 years, where we've had an offensive line that was consistently fucking good and protecting their quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, I can't even imagine what that alternate reality looks like, where we have that team that can get 13 wins with an offensive line that doesn't suck ass half the time.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry. I'm a Bills fan, but like, on, man.
Well, like we talk about all the time, he makes a bad offensive line look good.
Yep.
Because he can get out of shit situations.
Yeah, he does it all by himself.
And to your point, Jay, I was bringing this up to Jeff a couple days ago or a week ago, whatever it was. Maybe it was yesterday. But I'm like, you know, you look at the Bills, every single year they're trying to find new offensive linemen, new guys. They're bringing in, like, we haven't had the same starting offensive lineman year to year, dude. It's been
since his first year.
It's been Dawkins, Mitch Morse, and then everybody else.
Right.
You know, it's been
Darrell Williams.
You're changing up your right tackle. You're changing up your right guard, your left guard. We brought in Saffold. We, you know, now Bates is starting there. It's just you're interchanging many guys on a consistent basis.
It's hard to get that rhythm going.
And when you can't, when you don't play against the same guy on a weekly basis, like you said, the rhythm, it's so hard. It's so hard to catch the same thing every time.
The weird thing is, if they can make this work with the current starters, we believe are going to be starters, in Spencer Brown, Torrence, Mitch Morse, McGovern, you know, Deion Dawkins, if they can get settled and have that offensive line. Mitch Morse is getting older. Deion Dawkins, not a rookie. But the other guys are fairly young. McGovern, I think, is still fairly young.
He's like 27.
Yeah. Like, I mean, so we could probably have this offensive line, at least most of it, for 3 or 4 years. If we can make it work. Spencer Brown's obviously young. Torrence, super young. So.
We need this. Like, that's the key, you know, and McDermott says it constantly. But it's up front, you know, it's your defensive line, your offensive line. You know, it's got to be good. It's got to be, because if it's not, and we've seen, like Jay said, we've seen some shit shows last year, man, where Josh is just scrambling for his life, dude.
It was tough.
It is tough.
The Cincinnati game was one of those.
Yeah.
We couldn't get any pressure on Joe Burrow, and it seemed like Josh Allen was constantly being pressured.
Constantly.
Yeah, and you're not going to win those games,
no,
man. It's
no,
just
you're
not going to happen.
Absolutely.
Other teams are too good.
Very true. Anything else, guys? Looks like we're about there, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're there.
I think we're good.
I think we're good.
Dude, another good podcast, I think.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We got the blue and red game coming up on Friday. Anybody lucky enough to go? Awesome. It's a fun event, you know. It's cool if you can't take your kids, or if you don't go to a game. It's a great event to go to. So
for sure,
it's kind of like that build up to you know, the first preseason game and so on. So
it's funny. Yeah. Deion Dawkins actually mentioned it earlier today about going to that game. He loves it.
Yeah,
signing autographs. Everybody's tight in the bowl. Everybody's like excited. He loves that.
It's a great time. It's really an exciting.
It's for sure the hype game.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. Jay, as always, tell them how to listen to the podcast.
Well, you can find us on social at ETD Buffalo on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And if you want to listen to our podcast, you can find it on Spotify podcast, or really wherever you prefer to listen to them. We're pretty much everywhere.
All right, everybody, thank you very much for listening. We'll have 2 episodes out, so stay tuned for that. And as always, we just want to thank you guys for listening. And where else would you rather be than right here, right now? Go Bills!
Go Bills!